been talking a lot of college football, and I've got an opportunity. Well, I'm telling you about an opportunity to see the Rice Owls battle the Baylor Bears this Saturday, September 21st at 6 p.m. So Rice will be back at Rice Stadium after playing Texas at NRG. It'll be presented by Houston Methodist. Don't miss out on the primetime Power 5 college football game deep in the heart of Houston. Get your tickets now for Texas Celebration Day and put your Texas pride on display. Call or text 713-348-OWLS at 713-348-6957 or visit riceowls.com/tickets to secure your tickets today. Now back to John Lynch.
Now, the other Gilbert, that is not me. You've seen this guy. He is being led out. Have you seen this? This big dude is being led out of Minute Maid, and he screams, F the Rangers, and the cops can't. There's five cops, and they can't get. He's so. That is a
dude,
strong.
I haven't seen that guy. That is a powerful old dude.
That is a old. He
why would you
is,
say that's not true? Is he just.
That's not
he's
me.
Not hopped up on Coors Light.
No, he's not hopped up. He's hopped up on some goofballs. But that is a big, bad dude right there. And it takes five cops to get him out. Yeah, that's old. By the way, that's old, Gilbert. Okay.
What did he do?
He was being obnoxious or whatever, and he screams F the Rangers as he's leaving. Oh. And you know what? I kind of feel good about that. I kind of feel good about it. I feel like everybody should do that. The number of NFL prospects in the SEC cannot be refuted. The league has most of the best players. That is true. I mean, that's not even arguable. The SEC, look at the NFL draft every year. It's dominated by
the
SEC.
That is the one counter, or there might be more, but that's the major counter. But as far as teams are concerned and when they play each other, they're not a dominant force when they play other teams.
No, but one of the things, too, is, you know, a lot of times, here's how the SEC handles. The SEC will place teams in areas as opposed, they don't let teams accept. The SEC places their teams in the bowls. And, you know, a lot of times it's by area or whatever. And it might not be the best matchup. And a lot of times you'll be having the fifth SEC team against the second team from another conference. So, and here's another thing. Georgia and Alabama are both in the playoff. Guess what? Everybody moves down a step in the SEC.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be the best conference. You should be able to beat another team's second or third best team.
Right, with your fifth best team. Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's no. So when I was at Texas LSU in the press box, Camping World Bowl, I was sat next to that guy, and then a bigger bowl, like the Citrus or whatever it's called. And I was asking him, I said, what are you here for? So what are you looking for? And, you know, where they were talking about who they're tied in with, which conferences. And they said they work with the conference to determine a team. But they do have a say-so for sure, a lot of these, certain bowls, I guess. And he goes, oh, no, we're 100% looking for how the fans are going to travel.
Yeah.
He said, we want to know how the fans travel.
Yes.
That's what we want. We're trying to sell tickets.
Yeah. And location is a big part of that.
Okay, right. let's get Mike in here. Yeah,
let's get Mike in here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about the Texans. What do you say, Mike?
Hey guys, this is actually Fidencio. He couldn't get it, so I just said, you know what, just say Mike, man.
Mike is easy. What's up, Fidence?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Good.
So I'm listening to y'all's conversations. You know, I listen obviously every morning, and talking about Bill O'Brien and the Texans, and you guys are talking about whether or not he's likable, and he's one of the main reasons that I struggle with the team. And then I'd mentioned to you guys a few months back about ownership and how I didn't trust them to make the right decisions. So then I started thinking back as you guys are talking about how he is in his press conferences, because post-game Sunday, I'm listening to him on the radio, and I don't know how many, my son's with me, 13 years old, and he kept, you know, mentioning that it was a win. It was a win. And my son's like, why does he keep having to say that? And as I'm just thinking about it, and I'm thinking about likable coaches that were on mediocre teams, and the person that popped in my brain is Wayne Fonts. If you remember, Detroit would always have these seasons, but he would cry in press conferences. He looked like he was exhausted, but you felt sorry for him. And then it made me think about the Ford family. And one of my good friends lives in Detroit, and he's a Lions fan. And I feel like the Texans are equivalent to Detroit Lions, and the McNairs are equivalent to the Ford family. And it just looks like we're just going to be mediocre for a long time. And maybe if, you know, Bill O'Brien, like, cried, maybe we'd feel sorry for him. But I'm just thinking about it, and I just don't like the way things have been going, don't like the direction that it is going. And I don't think that, you know, he doesn't, you know, seem as someone who's going to change his personality and all of a sudden just become a likable person. I do like his personal side. I did see some, you know, I've seen some stuff with him and his family, and apparently they're just two different characters. Like, he's Bill O'Brien, the Texans coach, and he's Bill O'Brien's dad to, you know, his kid. If he could somehow make it to where I can root for him, then things would change, but I just don't see it happening. But I'm just agreeing with what you guys said, and then it just made me go into this bigger thing about the Texans are the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think the Texans are a better organization than the Detroit Lions.
Why?
Because the Detroit Lions, first of all, don't make the playoffs.
They've made it how many times? Maybe twice under in the last...
The last how long? Maybe. Once? No.
Stafford made it more than once?
Once?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Houston is a better organization.
The days of mediocre and likable coaches, I mean, well, they don't stick around.
The Texans had their Wayne Fonts. He was Gary Kubiak.
No, Gary Kubiak was better than Wayne Fonts.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
Wayne Fonts earlier in his tenure made the playoffs.
Gary Kubiak had two seasons
where
one was, they were one of the best teams in the AFC. They just, unfortunately, had their quarterback knocked out.
Wayne Fonts made it to an NFC title game.
Stafford has made it to the playoffs three times. Yeah. 11, 14, and 16. And he's lost every game.
Well, that's similar to outside the Texans beating, under Bill O'Brien, beating the third string Connor Cook. How's that any different?
Because they made it. Well, this is since, okay, because they made it since then. He's been in the league since 2009. The Texans in 11 and 12 were, you know, one of the better teams in the NFL.
I don't remember Wayne Fonts being that highly regarded at all.
Wayne Fonts made the playoffs four times.
Well, I got you.
So why is he that much different from what Gary Kubiak was here?
First of all, Gary Kubiak went on. We know that he's a better coach because he went on to win a Super Bowl.
Talking about what happened here.
No. You said he was comparable.
He was comparable to Wayne Fonts when he was here.
That's fine. Here is fine too. I'm trying to find.
I just don't want to put the freaking Lions on the Houston Texans.
Why?
Because what?
It feels
they're
bad.
The picture of they're not even mediocrity.
It feels bad, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels bad.
Well, good, because the Texans are the Lions.
The Texans aren't the Lions. We're better than the Lions. We're like Lions plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn, right? Wayne Fonts is 79 now.
Wayne Fonts in Detroit had three 10-plus win seasons and a 9-win season. Made the playoffs four times.
Ooh, this does sound like...
I told you. Say it again. I called Gary Kubiak.
I don't want to hear any of this.
How did he get three? Wayne Fonts.
I don't like...
Years
six
ago.
I don't like you... I don't like that call. I don't want
to. When I was doing a podcast with my buddy Manny, I called him Wayne Fonts like 4 years ago because the Texans are the Lions. I don't know if you know this. They're really comparable.
Can you show some respect?
That is the worst.
Sorry. It feels bad, but that's what they are.
When was the last time they won a playoff game?
Didn't they beat
Washington like with Barry Sanders?
Hold on.
No, they want to. Yeah, so maybe 91.
This is
going to
really bother
91
me.
With Barry Sanders. They beat Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
If Dell's right, this is going to really.
What? But the Texans win playoff games all the time.
Okay.
No, they don't.
Okay. They do.
Twice beat the Bengals, once beat the Raiders.
That's not all the time.
It is to me.
I know it is to you. That's not all the time.
I don't like this game.
Are you ready?
I don't like this game at all.
Why?
Wayne Fonts winning percentage with the Lions, 496. Gary Kubiak, 488.
Thank you. Why? I told you. Gary Kubiak's
double-digit wins, 3.
Wayne Fonts, 3. And a 9-7 thrown in there, too.
But hold on a second. Let me tell you how many 8-win seasons or more Gary Kubiak had. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Boom. I counted 2 Denver.
Yeah, that's not hold comforting on. For you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wayne Fonts had, please don't want to be 5, Jesus.
He had.
Please don't want to be 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wayne Woo! Fonts is either, yeah, see?
You are way
game over.
Not. No.
Winners. We win.
Gary Kubiak, likable, had a loyal ownership, just like Wayne Fonts did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you,
I don't like
they're the
this,
same
I'm
guy.
I'm starting to have heart palpitations.
And the Texans are the Lions.
Okay, this is a legitimate question I was going to ask you two guys. Hold on, this is a real question. Who has done better over a 5-year span? Gary Kubiak from, I'm going to say, 2009. Remember, 10 was a disaster, but you could see them coming
and
12. Up. 9, 10, 11. Okay, let's say 2008. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And we'll skip the really terrible 13. Or Bill O'Brien, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Those 5 years. Who has been the better coach? Is it discernible? Is it equal? You may have to go back statistically and take a look. My feeling, my gut, is that there's not a lot of difference. There just hasn't been. Well, no, the Texans did have a big downward drop at one point after Deshaun got hurt.
Well, when Deshaun got hurt.
Who's done a better job? Gary Kubiak? Because I look at that team and I think Gary Kubiak may have had more talent than Bill O'Brien. I mean, Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, but Bill O'Brien's 11-win season came with Deshaun, and Gary Kubiak never had Deshaun.
No, but he had Matt, who actually was, well, I mean, you can say what you want, but Matt Schaub had 4,000-yard passing years. Now, he never got into the 30-touchdown mark, but his offense has been better than Bill O'Brien's. Gary Kubiak had an offense.
Yes.
And when Kyle Shanahan called it was really
good. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Gary Kubiak had an offense with Matt Schaub, and Bill O'Brien can't crack the top 10 with Deshaun Watson.
You know, but Gary also had an offense that could move from the 20 to the 20, and they fell apart in the red zone until he got Arian Foster.
And Bill O'Brien's good in the red zone?
No.
Okay.
Similar.
Okay.
Actually, there's not a lot. You know what the big difference is? Gary was professional all the time. Bill O'Brien will fly off the handle at times.
Right.
Are we really upset about how a guy, and this is not meant, I'm not putting my opinion on either side of this right now. Do you really care about how a guy acts in press conferences, how he does this or how he does that?
No, win.
Or do you care about winning?
Win.
Yes, win. But if you don't win at a good level, how you act is going to be held against you. That's human nature.
Yep.
Bob Knight's not very tenable when he isn't winning.
Fans loved him.
Isn't winning, though,
no.
You can act any kind of way when you win. When you don't win, that goes away.
All right.
One more thing. Someone tweeted us.
I don't want to hear one more thing.
The
if it's
Lions
got to do with the Lions.
The Lions had a great receiver, Calvin Johnson. Texans had a great receiver, Andre Johnson.
I don't like this at all.
This
is a terrible game. Are you saying Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson? Yeah. Because soon Deshaun will be the highest paid quarterback.
Yes.
He'll take over for Matt Stafford.
I'm done with this game.
And that fact was from Dustin Burt, so you can hate on him on Twitter.
I need some insurance because I think I'm going to die.
Yeah. Well, they can handle your homeowners, not really life insurance right now. Homeowners, you know, anytime we have these big rainstorms like we had, the tropical storm, tropical depression, it starts moving slowly and wants to just stall over a certain area, and you start thinking, oh my gosh, 10, 12 inches of rain is possible in certain areas. It always makes me think of people who start to freak out realizing we don't have flood insurance. You know, with TGS Insurance, you can text money to 232323, and they're a company that can get you your flood insurance. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a process, and it does take a little time. But TGS can add flood insurance to whatever you've got, and in most cases, like Raheel found out, they can lower your rate substantially even after you've added flood insurance, which you may not have with your company. A-rated insurance is available through TGS, and it takes you less than 15 seconds to get a firm quote. Text money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. You'll give it, and they will get you a firm quote. TGSinsurance.com. Make sure that you check and you find out whether or not you've got the lowest rate you can find at TGS Insurance. Text money to 232323.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
All right, I want to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. Jeff was over at Dana's radio show last night, huge University of Houston supporter. And, you know, that's a guy that you want to come and work on whatever big job that you have for him. All right. He wants to emphasize big jobs, okay? You're opening up a bar and you want to put in the patio outside, okay? Or you want to put in the bar. You want to put in a beautiful bar. He did it at the Marist. Go and take a look at it, and it's going to last forever. You've got a hotel and you want to put all the vanities in. He'll do that. All the countertops in the kitchen, he'll do that. He is really, really spectacular at the big jobs with the marble, the granite, the tile. He can come and you don't need an architect, but he gets this job done every single day. Absolute Marble and Granite is the place to go if you're looking to get any of that stuff for your big job. Big jobs at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Oh, my God. Childish Altuve. I'm calling ICE on Fidencio. Fidence is a citizen, I think. I'm pretty sure. He can be here.
Art is Hispanic.
Just because.
Stop, Art.
Art.
Stop with your
fake. Lions greater than Texans. Sorry, not sorry. This is crap. You're all full of crap.
Just look at the numbers, John.
No.
I know it makes you feel bad, but just look at it.
No.
No.
Now,
it's the eyeball test, Del. I'm not going. Yeah. I'm not a numbers guy.
I want to know the last time.
I'm an eyeball
you
guy.
You are a numbers guy.
I'm an eyeball guy.
You're a numbers guy.
And it's feel and emotion and feel. It doesn't. They don't feel the same.
Listen,
Del.
Do you watch the preseason
Bulls
every year?
On parade.
And the experts.
Remember that?
And the experts on ESPN, how many times have said, well, you know what? I think the Texans can win the Super Bowl.
Oh, you mean
this
like
year.
When Tom Jackson said it?
Yeah.
How did that go?
And a lot of people said it. No one said it about the Lions.
Yeah.
They had a two win season.
When he said it, they had a two win season.
That's because
have you ever seen a team that was considered a Super Bowl contender win two games that year? I mean, honestly, I don't believe
it's hard to win two games.
It's hard, really. And the first two,
it's hard to win two and
lose 14 straight. Let's get Nick in here. He wants to talk about the SEC. What do you say, Nick?
Hey guys, so you guys are talking about tier one schools versus tier two schools.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, if you took the Tier 2 SEC schools, Auburn, Florida, Texas A&M, LSU, and you put them in the other conferences, are they still Tier 2 schools, or are they Tier 1 schools there? And then if you took the other Tier 1 schools, the Ohio States and Oklahoma, and dropped them in the SEC, are they in the same tier as Alabama and Georgia, or are they now in that second tier there?
I think Ohio State would be in the top tier.
Yeah,
they get great athletes.
Very talented.
Yeah, they get great athletes. Ohio State would be. Oklahoma, not so sure.
Yeah.
Week in, week out.
They would score because they prove they'll score on SEC defense.
Well, we'll find out whether or not this offense, opening it up. You know, Cam did pretty well with it, spreading it out, and he won a national championship with it. It'll be interesting to see how LSU, if they stick to their guns and they play this type of football, because have we seen this in the SEC? We've seen teams play it.
We haven't seen teams.
We've seen OU have some success against Georgia. Remember? I mean,
and we haven't seen a team who gets the type of players that LSU gets consistently do this. I mean, A&M did it, and it was successful for a year plus, but they weren't recruiting on the level. At least they didn't have those type of bodies yet. When Johnny was there.
This will be a petri dish for the rest of the SEC.
And really, if you can find yourself an offensive line, you can go recruit skill guys. Because that's why I think Oklahoma would be okay. I mean, they struggled early against Alabama, then kind of got it going. You can recruit offensive linemen. You got a shot to play well. Because if you can't protect your quarterback, it's going to be a long day running that offense. Oklahoma consistently gets guys that play at a high level on the offensive line. Right. And I don't think Auburn, A&M, or Florida are on LSU's level. So
no.
I don't think they're – LSU, if we're going to call them Tier 2 just for this argument because they can't beat Alabama, that Tier 2,
yeah,
they're 1B and then the rest are Tier 2.
So yeah, I would agree with that. I think LSU is on another level, but
so I think,
despite the loss to Texas A&M last year.
I think you can stick Auburn and Florida and whoever and A&M in another conference, let's say the Big Ten, and they wouldn't be demonstrably better than Michigan.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
Well,
I don't.
Yeah, I think, it'd probably be
pretty even. Not normally.
I think
Auburn,
it'd be even,
Florida,
yeah.
It would be Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, and be
they all be in
be
that area.
In that same neighborhood.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. By the way, why don't you plug your college football podcast?
Oh yeah, Respect My Decision. That's the podcast. It's on iTunes and audio on. And
you have a new one already this week?
No, I record on Thursday. It'll be up on Thursday. But if you like college football and you want to talk about college football, you can listen to that on every streaming platform there is. Respect My Decision.
Right. So I got a text from buddy, and he said, "Talk some UH football, please."
We had Dane on for 30 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We didn't talk about this, is that he's gone from 3.5 to 5.5 point underdogs.
No, I'll take
at Tulane. I'll take the points, too. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to take money line.
I took money line.
But a lot of people, a lot of services are saying, this is bet Tulane. And let's face it, the people are betting Tulane. Not that. And usually it's the right money that moves the line. It's not the public that's moving the line, especially in a game like Tulane and U of H. Although it's the only game on that night, which will bring more betting to it. But usually it's smart money that changes the line.
Tulane's on a short now. They're at home, but they're on a short week. They played on Saturday. U of H played on Friday, so they do have an extra day.
They don't have to travel.
They don't have to travel, so that's a benefit, but. I do think the way Houston played Washington State gave me more confidence in what they're capable of. So that's why I take the Cougs in that one straight up.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cougs, and I just went and watched Tulane. Justin McMillan is a good quarterback. They're fast. They've got a lot of skilled positions. I just don't believe, and they run the football. Now McMillan is their leading rusher and passer. So, I mean,
LSU transfer.
Yeah, LSU transfer, Cedar Hill kid, lefty quarterback.
He's not all that accurate.
No, but he's got a rifle. He's got a whip.
Well, he had an awful outing against Auburn, but other than that, he's been okay.
Well, it's Auburn too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And you know what?
I'm looking at the numbers. He was okay in the other two games. He just was bad against Auburn that brought down his numbers.
And I think that the Cougs defensively, I believe Joe Coughlin's going to have himself a game plan for this. I just think they're going to go in there and Tulane's not at U of H's level. They're just not. Willie Fritz is a great coach and he's done an unbelievable job, but I don't know that they're ready to win on this stage. We'll see. It was a disappointing atmosphere. It'll probably be much better. The students will come out. It'll be a much better atmosphere on a Thursday night against U of H as opposed to Saturday night against Missouri State. Don't get me wrong, but. That program still has a ways to go to reach U of H level. And, you know, I think, again, it's taken a little while for these players to adapt to Dana.
But this is all irrelevant based on who cares how long it takes them to get to that level of consistency. Are they 5.5 points better? I mean, at the end of the day, how much better are they right now? Willie Fritz, Dana's team is not playing to the level that they are capable of playing. I don't think they've reached expectation. Willie Fritz's team, based on how they played this year, they are closer to expectation.
Well, I don't know that. Dave, because they played within the number at Oklahoma and they played within the number.
Well, no, that's true.
Against Washington State, they played better than expectations.
Well, I think, that's actually a good point. I just don't feel – I feel like there's – maybe that's a compliment to Houston. I feel like they're capable of a lot more, especially offensively.
Oh, and I think they will get more.
I think defense –
Well, here's the thing. Just like Justin McMillan there, Derek King has got to play better. Derek King has got to be more accurate. But not only Derek King. He rolled out the other night, and he hit a dude on the sideline right on the run. He hit him about 20 yards down the field, and dude dropped the ball.
Yeah,
they can't hold. When they've got a pick in their hands, they've got to catch it. They have not come together yet, and yet they played tough against Oklahoma and Washington State, and they haven't played their best ball. They really have not made the plays that they need to make. It'll be very interesting to see if they play a complete game. They're gonna crush Tulane. They're gonna crush Tulane. I feel good about the money line on this one. You're taking the money line, right? Though
I am.
Yep. So
hey, coming up at
Del O
knows. Coming up at 8:45, Uncle Chaps from Barstool Sports is going to join us. He's a huge lifelong Astros fan, as a matter of fact. So we'll talk about JV hitting 20 wins. I don't want to jinx it, but
well. Yeah, you just did.
We're at 19.
Well, and Justin Verlander talking about 100 wins when there's still, you know, 10 games left. Justin.
Well, there's, I mean, you're 9-9.
What if they go, what if they 0-10?
Why don't you fire on my bookie and see if you can go with an 0-10 parlay? It'll pay you probably in the millions.
No, well, you
so
know
go
what?
And do that if you want to.
No, you know what? Instead, I'm going to go watch a Skeeters game. How's that? How's that taste? Instead, I am going to watch a Skeeters game because the Skeeters, okay. Oh, how about this? The Skeeters are back this week. Final homestand of the season. All right. Yesterday through Sunday, tonight, Dollar Dog Wednesday, Dollar Hot Dogs, discounted White Claws, okay? This White Claws thing is taking off. First pitch at 7:05. Thursday, Bark in the Park. Bring your furry friends to Constellation Field. Meet Kovu, the Bat Dog. It's also Thursday, $2 beers and sodas. That's the most important thing. And then Skeeters playoffs are the next Tuesday, September 24th, and Wednesday, September 25th. Tickets on sale now, only $10 for field box seats and $19 all-you-can-eat tickets. What? No, you're not going to eat the tickets. You're going to eat food. All-you-can-eat food tickets. Post-game fireworks show after the last night's game. It was a lot of fun. They never had fireworks at a minor league game before, so that's unbelievable. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com and get your tickets now. Sugarland Skeeters, great way to entertain clients or kids or, you know, just a great park, Constellation Field, SugarlandSkeeters.com.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, a couple of notes from last night. First off, Kevin Biggio. Congratulations. He hit for the cycle last night. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a player.
Yeah, his dad did it in 2002. And he did it 17 years later. So congratulations to...
2002, Craig Biggio came into the league, what, 90? Or 89, 90? It took a long time for him to get hit the cycle.
Yeah, and Kevin did it in his first year. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Mike Yastrzemski goes to, for the first time, he plays in Fenway. Gets a standing ovation. Now, for those of you younger, you don't know who Mike Yastrzemski is. He's a rookie with the Giants, and... You don't know who Carl Yastrzemski is. He's a Hall of Famer that played for the Boston Red Sox for years. He was the face of the franchise in the 60s and early 70s. Just a huge, huge name in Boston. So Mike Yastrzemski goes there, gets a standing ovation. He's the grandson of Carl Yastrzemski, and he proceeds to homer. But it's storybook stuff. So... yeah, congrats. That's a neat story. And then some good news. Dellin Betances is done.
Achilles.
Yeah, a partially torn Achilles.
I feel bad for him, but...
yeah. Now, Luis Severino did come back last night, his first start of the year, and pitched 4 shutout innings. So that's a bad thing. They lose a top line, one of the reasons their bullpen is so good, Betances is one of the best setup men in the game, and done. So that's good news. Severino coming back, bad news. And then the Minnesota Twins. By the way, I don't know about this Twins team. They're really powerful. They hit a lot of home runs.
You know, they have another record yesterday.
Yeah, right.
The Twins. So what was the...
fifth member of the Twins to reach 30 homers in a season.
Okay.
That's a major league record.
So I was looking this up. So Minnesota versus Houston. You got in an OPS discussion earlier, right? The Minnesota Twins, here's your Houston Astros. Your Houston Astros have two players who are over 1,000 in OPS.
Mm-hmm.
Yordan Alvarez leads the team at 1,092. Alex Bregman at 1,004. That's phenomenal. You hit 1,000 OPS, you're having a huge season. Yordan's got a .674 slugging percentage, .418 on base, which is incredible for a rookie. Alex Bregman is at .420 on base percentage. But when you look beyond that, you still have two other players who are at .900. Carlos Correa at .901 And then Jose Altuve at 908.
Well, what about Springer?
And you're right.
964.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Yeah, and George Springer, 964. Yeah, he's number 10. I'm not sure why they put that there. So, yeah, you're right. There's three. 964, 908, 901. So you have three guys over 900, two over 1,000. Five of your core players are over 900. And we haven't even mentioned Yuli at 893. You go to Minnesota, right? Set the world record. It's not just a Major League Baseball record. This is now a world record, John. This is now a global record of home runs.
Who else would hit home runs?
I don't know, but they're the best.
In Japan?
Minnesota's the best that's ever done it in the world.
Who did you think would hit more home runs?
Maybe the Japanese.
The Japanese would hit more home runs.
I just know Minnesota's beat it. If there was one by the Japanese, Minnesota has beat it.
They're halfway down the line when they finish swinging.
The most.
They're not going to hit home runs.
Okay, tell it to
Sadaharo.
So you know what? The OPS for the greatest home run hitting team in the history of baseball in the world. You know how many players over 900 on there from an OPS standpoint for them?
How many?
Nelson Cruz, 998. And you got Mitch Garver at 1,000. And that's it. Nobody else over 900. You got 800s. You got four other guys at 800. Their team OPS is 833. Their team OPS is 833. The Houston Astros team OPS is 845. So even with all those home runs and world record, the Astros are deep with home run hitters, but they'll gap it, and they're going to hit it more. And they're putting it in play more in terms of just not just home runs, but just putting it in play. The Astros are going to do it more than the Twins. So even with all those home runs, yeah, they hit a ton of home runs, but the Astros mash you. The Astros will have a chance to just absolutely mash you.
What's the difference in on-base percentage?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the big difference. Slugging. On-base percentage for your Houston Astros is at 353. For Minnesota Twins, 338.
So they slug better, but they don't have guys on base.
Astros, they slug the same. The OPS is better for the Astros. They're both at 495 slugging percentage.
Oh, they're both 495.
Astros have a higher OPS thanks to... But what I'm saying is all those home runs, Astros slugging percentage is the same. It's not different. And now with Tucker... that's certainly not a big enough sample size at all, but you know, not from nothing. But Tucker's OPS right now is—he's right there. He's right there. He's at 907. So he's up over 900. Right.
Yeah, but you got
that's not that's
got to count guys that are going to play. Well, that'll be an interesting thing too for AJ is if Reddick is struggling. You look at what Reddick's OPS is bad because he had such a terrible lull. In the middle of the season, he seems to be coming out of it now and hitting better. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not Kyle Tucker doesn't get some at-bats and doesn't get a start in the postseason.
I mean this in all sincerity. How are you – now, this is way down the road, and the Astros have a tough American League to get through in the postseason. I respect all those teams. If they were to get to a World Series, legitimately, what do you do with Yordan in the National League Park? Where are you putting Yuli? Are you putting Yordan in right?
You'll probably put him in left.
And put, oh, no, yeah, you'd have, Brantley to, you'd have right. to flip-flop Brantley.
Yeah.
You'd have Yordan at left or at first?
Left. They won't put him at first.
You're not going to move Yuli.
They won't put him at first.
He's going to have a lot more attempts in left field, too, than he would at first, obviously. He'd have to be involved with a lot more at first. They would put him in left.
Left.
So you'd take Reddick's bat out of the lineup.
Yeah. I mean,
Reddick's defense out of the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't sit Yordan, right? What if he's facing Clayton Kershaw?
Jin is a lefty.
I know.
And Kershaw's a lefty. Hell, you might start Mariznick.
No, let's get to a break. No one's starting Mariznick.
You might. No. In center and no. Springer in right.
No, Reddick.
Springer in right and Brantley in left. Yeah, we might do that.
No, why would you just, well, okay. So you got Tucker and those guys are all lefties. Tucker, Reddick. No, I don't think you would just go righty lefty. You got to go good player. I mean, for that you matter, hey, have. Yordan is still 418. On base percentage.
Yeah.
Yordan's got a pretty good idea.
He ain't scared of lefties either.
He's got plate discipline. Yordan, you know what? Yordan ain't coming out against anybody.
Well.
Why would you sit somebody with the highest OPS on your team. That is really dumb. If you really just, if I say it like that, hey, they're just going to sit well, the guy with the highest OPS on the team.
For defensive purposes, I mean, if he can't.
Then he comes out of the game
it,
in the eighth.
Done it and he, well,
in the eighth, he comes out.
After his at-bat.
Here comes the golden mane. Here comes the flowing locks of Jake Springer. Jake Mariznick. It doesn't happen until then. You can't sit down a guy with an 1,100 OPS.
Well, they did. They did in National League Parks.
Yeah, but they're not going to in a World Series.
I don't know. That's why you got to get.
You want to talk about
that's
getting
why you
second guess?
Keep on winning. You have to keep on winning so that four of the seven games are here. You have to keep on winning, and that's I think that's a good thing too, because when you take the foot off, I've seen plenty of teams. You take the foot off the pedal, and you know you cruise into the postseason. You're in that cruise mode, and you can't be in that cruise mode. So I think it's kind of it may even be a positive. You know what else is a positive? Oh, Uncle Chaps on the other side. You Barstool fans, this is something you want to listen to. If you, Uncle Chaps is good. He's funny. We'll talk to him about the Jaguars situation and your Houston Astros. He's a big fan. Right now, though, I want to talk about Chastain Ford. And I'm telling you, I'm part of the family. They want you to be part of the family. They are the Ford truck experts. If you're out there and you need a fleet, they do more fleets than anyone in the city. And you're like, well, I don't even know who Chastain Ford. Well, they have basically been in business since 1933, and they've been doing it this way, the right way, and where people can trust them to give them entire fleets now since 1933. Patrick now and Joe have taken over, and they are so, I'm telling you, you're not going to deal with better people. But here's the thing is, I want my car at a great price, and they will match prices. They are not afraid to, even though you think, well, they're not as big, so they can't give the, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they will. I got the best price I could possibly get on my Expedition. They got 0% financing now for up to 72 months on some vehicles. It is unbelievable. This is a great, great, great time for you to get that Ford Expedition, F-150, Ranger, whatever it is that you're looking for. And these people are spectacular. You will love them. And they service every make and model that they sell. You will love Chastain Ford. You'll be part of the Chastain family like I am right now. Get there. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. Homestead, not Hempstead, off of 610, just east of 59. It's Chastain Ford. Join the Chastain family.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. For those of you that are unfamiliar with, I don't know anybody's unfamiliar with Barstool Sports now. BarstoolSports.com. Uncle Chaps is, he's been there for a while now, huh? How long has he been?
No, I don't know. Let's bring him on right now. Uncle Chaps joins us right now. And yes, I just know him as Uncle Chaps. I don't even know what his real name is. He goes by Uncle Chaps. He's like Michael. You know who Michael is. You know who Kobe is.
He's Uncle Chaps.
He's just Chaps.
Yeah.
So he goes by that. How long have you been at Barstool now? 2 years or maybe three?
Yeah, 3.5 years, actually, which is crazy how much time has gone by.
So you were just to catch people up. You were a guy. Do you still live in San Antonio?
Yep, I'm a San Antonio guy. I'm actually on my way to College Station right now, but I've lived in San Antonio for almost a decade.
Yep. So you've lived there almost a decade. You're a huge Astros fan.
Oh yeah,
I know that. And you've got the orbit with your face on orbit. You've got the gif that where you're running around the park with your face on orbit, which I love after Astros wins. Why are you a lifelong? Because you're also a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. How is all this working out? I know you're in the military. Is that part of it or no?
Well, I'm not really a lifelong fan. So what happened a couple years ago, I grew up an Atlanta Braves fan because basically anybody from the Jacksonville area is a Braves fan because TBS was on. We didn't really have them. The Marlins weren't a thing yet. The Rays weren't a thing yet. So if you lived in northern Florida, you were basically a Braves fan. Well, I have no ties to the city of Atlanta. And once my grandmother passed away, she was like my tie to the Braves. We'd watch the games together. I decided that because I live closer to Houston, that's the local market. I have more opportunity to take my kids and my wife to a game there, that we would just jump in. And I got all kinds of stuff because I was a grown man who switched allegiance to a team while I was like an active participant cheering on the Braves. People were not happy with my decision to leave the Braves and join the Astros, especially since they won the World Series the year that I did it.
Are you considered like an outcast at Barstool because you're not a Patriots and Red Sox honk?
Well, it does make it a little bit interesting, though, because you have so much of a Northeast flavor that whenever you cheer for a team down south, it almost like it doesn't matter or it's cute. Like that you're like, they think it's cute that I'm a Jaguars fan more so than anything else.
Because you're, well, you're especially harmless now. It didn't look like you were harmless 2 years ago when the Jaguars pushed, and I had a passing of the torch. I legitimately bought into the passing of the torch from the Patriots to the Jaguars. It looked like wins for decades to come, or maybe years to come. Although I was a little uncertain about if Blake Bortles was really making that next step, but it felt like, who cares? They got Leonard Fournette now. They got this, that. Leonard Fournette looked like he was carrying a truck on his back the other day against the Texans. You've got the quarterback you brought in is now hurt. You've got Cam Robinson can't stay on the field because he's injured. It's not the same dominant defense. And now the best player on the team, in my opinion, Jalen Ramsey, is barking up again just like last year, and it looks like a trade is inevitable. What has happened with the Jalen situation? And do fans see him as an enemy now, or is it the guys who run the team are the enemy?
You know, shockingly, I don't think that most fans see Jalen as the enemy. I think the most that I see and talk to anyway view the team as the enemy at this point. Because we were legitimately, if a ref would have kept his whistle in his pocket, we were going to the Super Bowl. If Miles Jack isn't called down, they are in the Super Bowl that year because the Patriots weren't coming back from being 18 down with 8 minutes to play. They just weren't. So to go from that point to last year, beating the Patriots at home, and not just beating them, but dominating them. And since that game that they beat the Patriots at home, and I believe it was week two, they're 2-12. 2-12 since that point. And really nothing has changed from the team except for the way that they play, which is, it's insane. Telvin Smith taking a leave of absence. You have Jalen Ramsey not wanting to be a part of the team anymore. I think yesterday's press conference where they allowed Jalen Ramsey to go in front of everyone and just completely have this attitude where I don't want to be here, I'm not going to really talk, I'm going to answer questions, but not really, is one of the biggest PR missteps that I've ever seen in sports. You can't have a guy who requested a trade very publicly 12 hours ago stand in front of your team's logo at your team's press conference and completely just say that he doesn't want to be a part of your team anymore.
And then not answer any questions, by the way. Then every time a question was up, the Bill O'Brien playbook up, I'm just trying to be the best teammate and while I'm a Jaguar.
But a lot of times he just said, well, I'm just getting ready for Thursday. I can't wait.
He didn't even answer questions.
He wouldn't answer the questions. And he said, listen, you guys, it wasn't us that said this, that broke this to the media. It was the team.
Does it matter
who? Which I can understand the team. And I can understand the team wanting to get it out there so that every team knows that Jalen Ramsey is available. But Jalen Ramsey wasn't making it public. The team did.
Yeah, you don't have to do that in today's day and age where you go and make a press conference and let every team knew that he was available as soon as his agent said that he was available. And whether you want to say that it was the agent or the team, whatever, I think it was a miscalculation. I think the team honestly thought, we're going to put him out here. The world is going to see that he's super unhappy. We know that he's an all-world player, probably a top two cornerback in the entire NFL. So our fan base will be pissed if we trade him. But we have to. Look at him. Look how upset he is. There's nothing that we can do. I think it was a ho-hum. Woe is me. There's nothing we can do. We got to get rid of this guy, even though we have him technically under contract for 2 years because we have the fifth-year option and a tag year, so we have 2 full years of him under contract. Just make him play. If he says, I'm going to play hard while I'm here, who gives a crap if he's happy or not?
Yeah. Well, the NFL's adopting the NBA deal now. Player demands trade. We get rid. We accommodate them. Chaps is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Lifelong Astros fan as well. Now, Betances goes down for the Yankees. Good thing. Severino comes up last night, though, for the Yankees. Bad thing. He pitched four shutout innings. I don't want to see the A's in the first round, but I think either the other team, any of the other teams, the Astros cruise through there and get the Yankees, and then we'll see, right? I mean, I think it's arguable better lineup, Yankees when they're fully healthy and Astros fully healthy.
Yeah, I think that you have that. I would love to go against the Yankees just because there's so many people that I work with that are Yankees fans. That always makes great content. We have good rivalries. I was up there last week, and they were really all the Yankees fans in the office. My producer is a Yankees fan, so having that back and forth would be great for me. Oakland, we have Dallas Braden that works with us too, so that would be fine. But I'm with you guys. I'd be a little bit more nervous going up with them, especially after the shellacking that they gave us about a week ago. I'd much rather see the Yankees than Oakland.
I'm not in any big hurry to disrespect anybody in the American League right now. It looks like the teams there from a playoff standpoint are all going to be very, very competitive, and they all have their strengths. They all have their major strengths that they lean on. Do you in terms of following the Astros, there's been some great runs. When you look at the 17 season, I don't really, other than the bullpen, other than not having a Charlie Morton or a Lance McCullers, one of those kind of wild card arms, I don't know that you can look at this Astros team and not say it's not a better team. Like, it's not better positioned, especially if you assume Zach Greinke will kind of level out to an average Zach Greinke performance. It's rare to have three arms like that on any team headed into the postseason.
Yeah, I think, but that bullpen, if you got a starter that goes in, Lance McCullers, they don't win unless he throws 21, or what was it, 21 curveballs in a row?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have that type of arm, that could really cause some damage. But having three legit number ones, that's what you want in the playoffs. That's how they set it up. And with those bats, I think that you're going to be in good position no matter who you play.
Hey, I got to ask you this. Well, you can answer if you want. It's just too much for you to pass up. Max says, ask Chaps about his mother-in-law's diarrhea. I don't even know what that means. But.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that lives in lore. And if my mother-in-law ever really learns how to use the internet, I'm screwed in that relationship because I have used her for content for so many years and just talked about her. Anytime she's at my house, I hate every second of it, but I know I'm going to get so many page views, so many clicks, so many more downloads because the Barstool world just loves to hear about my wild Southern mother-in-law.
Why? What's the deal with her?
So she had really bad diarrhea one Christmas. My wife makes homemade pasta. It's one of my favorite things that she makes. She makes it about twice a year because it's so time-consuming. And she made the homemade pasta. Everything was from scratch. The sauce, the meatballs, everything was just from scratch. So my mother-in-law came sauntering down the stairs, and she looked at the plates. My wife had plated it beautifully. We had, like, the homemade bread. It's the whole nine yards. And she sits down at the table, and she's like, you know what? I don't think I'm even going to be able to eat this on the account of my diarrhea. So we are having my favorite meal of the year, and she goes in detail, in depth, of not only that she has diarrhea, but the type of diarrhea
yeah.
and how loose the stools are.
Right.
And so immediately, I am at the dinner table. I am so unbelievably pissed, but I turn it into, I was like, babe, I got to go right. And so I turned this into like an hour-long blog. I just sat down and stream of consciousness wrote. And now it's a blog that Barstool will publish every year around Christmas Eve just to commiserate with me and remember that memory.
But your mom knows. I mean, your wife knows.
Oh, yeah. My wife read it. My wife actually came on my show, Podfathers, about parenting. And we recounted the entire thing because there's some things that you can't hear over the FM or AM channels that happened with that trip as well. It's a nightmare, but a nightmare that I'm kind of thankful for, I guess, because it was such a good story that it happened, but it was miserable at the time.
Content.
Always thankful for content. That's
it. Yeah, you're always looking for content and a good mother-in-law diarrhea story.
By the way, who was it last one? Who was it that you tricked? Was it Ian Rappaport with your fake NFL Network background that you were using or NFL.com? Was it Rappaport?
Yeah, I think it was basically everything. I think that's one of my favorite parts about working with Barstool Now and becoming like a media personality, which is not something I expected. I expected just to be a dude on Twitter who talked about sports during the day and occasionally told some jokes. But after tricking like Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter and Schefter talking about the Olivier Vernon trade on TV like it actually had happened and broke down what was happening behind the scenes whenever this went down, I was blocked by almost every single major sports personality on Twitter. And now, like, that I work with Barstool and that I'm doing things on my own, those same people not only unblock me, but follow me and DM me and be like, "Can you come on our show?" I'm like, "You said I was a loser, dude. I remember when you said I was a big loser."
Well, I thought that for what you said about Cecil Shorts, and I was like, oh, Chaps is right. I'll make a public apology to Chaps about Cecil Shorts. He is always injury prone. He's 100% correct.
And now I feel bad because Cecil Shorts is such a good dude.
He is a good dude.
He is a good guy. Yeah.
He's just such a nice fella.
Yep. That's Uncle Chaps, BarstoolSports.com, BarstoolSports.com. Chaps, we appreciate you hanging with us.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Right. Let me tell you about, you know what? Sometimes you could use a little Ramjack in your life.
Whoa.
No, it's true. Oh, yeah. It's true.
Ramjack.
Yeah, yeah. If your foundation Ramjack needs issues Ramjack or has issues, Timbers. Ramjack, your foundation with the number one company in the city of Houston. They've been here for 4 decades. You thought I was going to say years? Decades. 4 decades. Of fixing the issues that are created by shifting soils here in the Houston area. And it's worse here than any place else. If you haven't had foundation work on your home, you will have to have it at some point. And you know what's important is making sure that that work is going to hold up. And that's why their lifetime transferable warranty or their warranty in general makes so much difference. They use patented technology, 100% American-made, deep-driven steel pilings that get the job done for you. They analyze it right. They inspect it. They fix it. They keep your home, your outdoor, you know, the outside of your home looking good after they're done. They really take great care of that foundation and of their work. And you are going to find that their work is done the right way. You don't have to do it twice. You do it once and you do it right with the experts at Ramjack. 713-599-0102 or go to ramjack.com.
ESPN 97.5.